Step onto the red carpet and discover the Hollywood Casino difference. It's A-list service and all that goes with it. Experience unrivaled gaming action, award-winning dining, a lavish hotel, and electrifying nightlife with bars right in the center of the action and boogie nights, the ultimate 70s and 80s dance club. Because there's no place like Hollywood Casino St. Louis.
Must be 21. Gamble problem? In Missouri, call 1-888-BETS-OFF or visit 888-BETS-OFF.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Winnie Streak listener line wide open, 855-282-8255. We also have the Lions Choice text line wide open at 855-282-8255. Bob Nightingale, one of the best in the business from USA Today, is going to join us at 10:30. Then we'll have our Friday slop with Strick and Tuna. So, you know, in all my years of working at Channel 5, 24, I have never had Fridays off. Never. And I've always, you know, I didn't mind because there's always a lot going on with high school stuff. We have a longer show and everything. So they switched my schedule. So I told Monique, I said, hey, guess what? I'm off on Fridays now. And I thought she'd be really excited. And she said, well, you know, I've girls' night out on Friday. And I also have a movie club on Friday. And so, like, I'm not, you know, she is. So today I said, why don't we go to lunch? I've never gone to lunch with my wife during the week. So I'm kind of excited about it. And I talked to Martin about this when we were thinking about making this move. And he says, oh, yeah, it's much better to have a Sunday through Thursday shift. Because on Sunday, there's nobody there. There's no management. And that's what you want. Let's face it. We do not want to be around management at all. News directors, executive producers. It's much better if the place is quiet. So I'm relatively excited about this new schedule. Although I've just been told that our new people are taking some Fridays off, so I'll be working next Friday. All right. I can't win. Our opening monologue brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. Let's begin with lap one. Brendan, you do have the sound, correct? Okay, good. Let's face it. Now, heading into this month, the perception of Dexter Fowler by the average Cardinal fan was this. And tell me if I'm off base here. Not a whole lot of bang for your buck. $82.5 million for all those injuries? Average to below average defense? Doesn't even hit leadoff? And not getting on base like he was supposed to, like he did in Chicago? Now, some of that perception was reality. Some of it, a little unfair. But in August, Dexter has been a stud. And he was again last night.
Fowler rips it into right field. This game is tied. Pham will score. DeJong being waved in. He will score. Fowler to third. And he is safe. Avoided the tag. The Cardinals have the lead, and it's 6-5.
I feel healthy. You know, I was actually telling Chris Carpenter that, you know, when it was, you know, when I came back, that I actually, this is the first time, you know, since I went into spring training, I feel like I'm healthy. So, you know, that plays a big part, especially after the season I had last year. You know, you never take into account that because you're still running on adrenaline when you first start again. But, you know, I'm healthy now and, you know, it feels good.
He's on pace for a career high in homers with 21. He's slugging a career high 489. And his OPS is 59 points higher than his average OPS in a season. So we thought we were signing a heady on-base leadoff machine. Instead, we're getting a middle-of-the-order weapon. A lot of things involved here, and as he mentioned, most of it about health. You know, a lot of guys, career leadoff guys, maybe couldn't make this move, but man, he's made it, and he is thriving. Lap two. Adam Wainwright. I got to tell you, I don't know how all of you feel. I'd love to get your take. I don't blame him one bit. I blame the people in the organization who thought it would be a good idea to trot him out there. And the Pirates feasted on Waino.
Oh, he waited and jumped on it deep to left field. Clear the deck. Cannonball coming. Two-run homer. Looks as though Pham might have gotten the glove on it. Josh Harrison, two batters into the game, gives the Pirates a 2-0 lead.
Time of year, we're one game back, and this is usually when I go. You know, this has been, in my whole career, this is when I've taken off and pitched some really good baseball. So it's hard for me to look my guys in the face and tell them that, you know, I'm sorry. It just wasn't as good as it needed to be. But we're going to go checked out, see everything's okay.
Yeah, you know, the first part of that, you're kind of shaking your head thinking it's not there. And then the last part of it is get checked out. So God bless one of the great Cardinal pitchers of all time. In fact, one of the great human beings we've had as a professional athlete in our town ever. What he does for charity, the way he treats people, the way he treats teammates, the way he treats the media, his manager. There's so much to love about Adam Wainwright, including his, you know, incredible resume. But let's be honest, this shouldn't happen again. Let's say the Cardinals decide to throw him out there again and they end up losing this thing by a game. It should not happen again. And I know it's a weird stat. In fact, Brendan had this last night. 15-8 when Waino starts a game. It's just, that's unbelievable. He hasn't lost a game, Adam Wainwright, since June. About that. But the man can't throw a fastball 90 miles per hour. I mean, there are kids at St. Louis U High. I know one of them named Matt Bauer, plays on the Gamers. He throws his fastball 91 miles an hour. 90 miles an hour. He's a senior in high school. Now, I know it's not all about velocity with Wainwright. You can't get people out with how hard he's throwing. He has an ERA over 5 for the season. Never, ever done that in his major league career. This is not the Adam Wainwright we've seen, and we likely won't see that Waino again. Former MLB All-Star told me, this is the way you look at Wainwright. Nobody is uncomfortable facing him. Let me ask you this. If you're coming to the plate with a bat in your hands, who do you feel more comfortable in facing? Waino in the mid-80s or Jack Flaherty throwing 94 with 4 different pitches? Who do you think you'd be a little more uncomfortable facing in 5 days? He shouldn't start again. Lap three. I have an analogy I want to bring up about the Cardinals in this division. I think, as most things in life, comes back to food, and it's just on the table. You are sitting at an elegant table, candlelight dinner, perhaps a window view. You're at an elegant restaurant, and you have toasted ravs in front of you, and you have a Cabrizi salad with balsamic vinegar, imported. Then you have a ribeye with a side of broccoli with hollandaise sauce. And you have a little fettuccine alfredo on the side as a side dish. And you have fresh, hot cheese bread. And the dessert, it's Bananas Foster. Flaming dessert. It's sitting right in front of you. The vision is all yours. It is. Here's the Chicago situation. Their best pitcher, John Lester, likely done for the season with a lat injury. Their best catcher, Wilson Contreras, he's done for another month with a hamstring. Addison Russell hasn't played since August 2nd with a foot injury. Carlos Quintana, he has an ERA over 5.5. Over 5.5 this month. And you know what? Excuse me. A lot of barking in the media about Joe Maddon. It's right there in front of you. Served on a platter. Despite all the woes, they're trying to hand you this thing. Get the utensils, the knife and fork, or the glove and bat, and win it. Lap four. Mizzou football, 2 weeks away. Missouri State, blood donor game, 1-0. South Carolina at home. This is important. This is a big one. Got to win your home games against the mediocre SEC teams. In South Carolina, 6-7 last year. I think mediocre. 2-0 Mizzou. Then you have Purdue, 3-9 last year, at home. Okay, 3-0. Do you feel the roar? Yep. And then Auburn at Mizzou. That's likely a loss. 3-1 out of the gates, realistic goal. Brad Nessler, new voice of the SEC on the morning after with some Mizzou thoughts.
Well, I think there'll be a pretty big increase in just the stability. Barry, coming in after a legend and Gary for 15 years, I think it's hard sometimes to make the transition, even if you've been a coordinator. The kids get to know you as a head coach now, and that's a little bit different. And I think it's kind of like, going from freshman to sophomore. We had the same thing here. I live in Georgia, and Kirby Smart did not have a good first year, and everybody expects bigger things this season. So, I think, they got some of the talent. When you got Drew Locke, you got a passer's chance, as far as I'm concerned. And, having seen them once last year at the end of the season in the Arkansas game, and the fact that they didn't quit when they were getting hammered at halftime, I thought that showed a lot, and that they didn't quit on their coach. They didn't quit on each other. They got some talent.
Brad definitely saw the right game last year, that Arkansas game. Yep. All right, left five. So yesterday, we had Dr. Patrick Rishaw. He's very well connected with the area and with the soccer community and with the MLS. He is a soccer lover and an enthusiast. He's also a professor of economics at Washington U. He's taught all over the country. He writes for Forbes. His credentials really are impeccable and really a good guy. I was amazed at his optimism on St. Louis getting an MLS team. He says it's St. Louis and Sacramento, and it will be announced sometime before Christmas. I really hope he's correct. But I got to tell you, the potential owners I speak to say, unfortunately, Frank, no progress has been made. None. Who knows? I do know this. The other cities are passing us right by. And if you don't believe me, I want you to listen to this Q&A with a good doctor on how we are progressing as a city as opposed to other similar-sized cities. I'll say the city, and you tell me right now if this city has either already passed St. Louis up or, with the way things are trending, will pass St. Louis up. Kansas City.
Sure. I would say that Kansas City's progressiveness with respect to sports and athletics has passed us by at present. Yes.
All right. Indianapolis.
Well, that's without question.
All right.
They've passed by many folks. They've really done it wonderfully in Indianapolis, building their city from the ground up in the core, and a lot of it's around sports complexes.
Nashville.
Again, I would say that Nashville has been very progressive, much more progressive than we have been. So absolutely, yes.
How about Louisville?
Louisville's making progress. Certainly, they have a new, relatively new facility downtown, as well as a new baseball minor league ballpark. Then the thing that all these places have in common, Frank, two things. One, they are making more progress than St. Louis has in the last 10 years. And number two, and a corollary to number one, is they just simply get it. They realize that having upgraded facilities, newer facilities, are the sorts of things that help create and spur activity, which generates interest and some economic impact in downtown.
I like the expression, get it. They get it. So yesterday, I'm covering this Missouri Valley Conference Tournament press conference. Okay? And the great Doug Elgin, his incredible staff, and Mike Kern, Jack Watkins, announced that the Valley is staying at the Scott Trade until 2020. They've drawn over 1.3 million fans. Only the Big East has been in one city longer than the MVC. And keep in mind, in 2020, that'll make it 30 years. The economic impact is over $200 million. And Doug said point blank, if the Scott Trade Center wasn't making the improvements, they would have looked elsewhere. We are talking about brand new locker rooms, the state-of-the-art scoreboard, and all sorts of new bells and whistles all over Scott Trade Center. Every one of their bathrooms have been redone, too. Now, here's the thing. Phase one is costing $30 million. All right? City approved it. City won't release the funds. So what are the Blues doing? I mean, like, let's just say that you were granted, well, it's not the perfect comparison, but you were granted, let's just say your dad said, I'm going to give you $20,000 for a down payment on a home. And then your dad says, no, I can't. Well, can you buy the home? No, you can't. You know what the Blues are doing? They're going forward. Money's not coming in, but the Blues will not stop the flow of progress here. You know why? Because they know the work has to be done. They know to get events and to keep the events that have already been booked, that they promised these organizations that these things would be done. So even though that money has not been released, Blues can't stop. There's a schedule here. They got to get these things done right away. They told these organizers they were going to have a first-class building. Money's not coming in to pay for that. Hopefully it will. If not, the Blues will have to pay. They know to get events, they have to offer a first-class building, not one with ancient locker rooms and a Magnavox video screen that was as clear as your grandmother's in her living room. So if you want to see all those cities zoom right past you, continue to support our politicians, those big picture thinking businessmen and women we have controlling our city. That's what we need to do to make life as difficult as possible for organizations who are generating tax revenue and providing great entertainment. Make their life utter hell. Go back on things that have been legally passed. Just make it as difficult as possible. Do I sound bitter? All right, left six. So, back to working Sunday nights, and we're going to load up on sports at KSDK again. Sports Plus, not quite as long. This Sunday, we have an inside look at one of our town's greatest athletes ever, the gold medalist Dawn Harper Nelson, who may be the most unsung superstar our area has ever produced. I mean, think about this in terms of gold medals produced by St. Louisans. And I'm sure some people will help me out here. Lions Choice text line, 855-282-8255. And I'm not talking about like the team awards, you know, like a basketball award or something like that. But gold medals, you have JJK, and I guess you have Michael Spinks and Leon Spinks. You have Al Joyner. But, I mean, I think this is really a small list of people who've won gold medals from our area. And this is just a beautiful human being. There's nobody more humble. She is just a gracious person. So her story Sunday night. We also sit down with the most important sports father in our state. I think you can make a case for this. His name is Michael Porter Sr. Yeah, in addition to Michael and Jonte, there are three more boys. One is a 6'3" point guard who will be a sophomore and who's really good. They have a 14-year-old who's 6'5". And Michael Senior said last night, he's going to be great. They also have a 12-year-old who's just like the rest of them, really good. 8 kids in all, homeschooled, and at one time, they had 5 between the ages of 5 and 1. Mrs. Porter's got to be a saint. I'll say this too. She was a heck of a player. Listen to this. She averaged 1 season in high school, 44, and another season, 56. Now, that was that 3-on-3 thing. It was like the last year of that. Michael was a good player, too. He played at New Orleans, and then he played for Athletes in Action. That's where he got to know Lorenzo Romar. One family changes the program, changes the athletic department, and may for years. Now, it's possible for both Michael and Jonte, and I think Michael for sure, are going to be there for only one more year. But there are 3 more to come. They love Columbia. Michael Senior's a good guy. So is Konzo. I just couldn't be higher on the Mizzou program in terms of character, too. I mean, I know these guys are good at what they do. Boy, it's nice to have some real high character guys down there, too. Wait till you hear on Sunday, by the way, Mr. Porter talking about the chemistry and how well Jonte and Jeremiah Tillman can play together. I think we're all thinking, boy, they get those 2 6'10" bodies out there at the same time. Michael Porter Sr., Sunday night on Sports Plus. You'll want to watch it. Now is the time when parents start to drop off their kids for the first time in college. And I get a lot of text, or I've gotten some and some phone calls at this time because of the story we did years ago when we dropped off our oldest, Alex. And I do think it's one of the most emotional things a parent can do. You know, I don't know what it's like to walk a daughter up the aisle. I imagine that's pretty powerful. But I can remember like it was yesterday in that Loyola Chicago dorm room at the end of the visit. I had to wear sunglasses to hide the tears. And I didn't want Dom to see me like that. He was like 9 or 10. And I said, Dom, I'll give you $2 if you leave for a while. And he said, how about 5? I said, okay, fine, get out of here. He was always a con man. But I just want to say that I kept wanting Alex to say at the end that, hey, I don't really want to do this. I want to come back to St. Louis, and I would have gladly taken him back. Never did. He was fine. We weren't. Parents never are. The dynamic changes, and it's never quite the same. It really isn't. So I feel for all of you parents who've just gone through it for the first time. And believe me, the next year it gets easier. You leaving today for college? Okay, cool. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. I don't blame Waino one bit. And could anybody in our audience right now blame Adam Wainwright? Or do you blame the Cardinal power brokers that made that decision? Give me one good reason why Adam Wainwright should start another baseball game in 5 days. Dexter Fowler, the signing is looking kind of good now, isn't it? Where would the Cardinals be without this guy in the middle of the lineup? And how it's on the platter. It's there. The Cubs are more flawed than that sweater George Costanza once bought on Seinfeld. Mizzou football, South Carolina, that's the key game to going 3-1. Our town, it was voted on. The Blues deserve the money, and they're not getting it. How do you feel? And Michael Porter Sr., unpack your bags and stay another decade. We'll take all your kids. We'll take a short time out. Bob Nightingale when we come back.